Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Financial markets are getting what's been dubbed a Biden bounce. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Global stocks are solidly higher after clarity emerged about who will occupy the White House for the next 4 years. U.S. stock futures and key benchmarks in London, Paris, and Frankfurt are up in the 1.5 to 1.8% range this morning. MSCI's World Share Index, which tracks stocks in 49 countries, hit a record high this morning. For the lay of the land in Asia, here's the BBC's Katie Silver in Singapore.
Stock markets across Asia, from Shanghai to Sydney, all trading higher as investors welcome the end to a drawn-out election race. Some of the biggest winners have been green energy companies, after the president-elect promised to tackle climate change and rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. China's currency, the yuan, also strengthened slightly on hopes the relationship between Washington and Beijing will be more predictable under a Biden presidency.
Katie Silver there. While elsewhere, the dollar is lower against a basket of global currencies on hopes Congress will agree a new stimulus package that's crucial for helping the U.S. economy weather the coronavirus pandemic. And oil prices are up more than 2%, shrugging off concerns about low demand as COVID-19 cases continue to rise. Well, high-level Brexit talks between the European Union and the UK resume today. As the UK tries to hammer out a new trade deal with the 27-nation bloc, it had been hoping to quickly ink individual trade agreements with other countries, including the US. But how far up the priority list is resetting transatlantic links for President-elect Joe Biden? Dr. Meredith Crowley, who specializes in international trade at the University of Cambridge, says likely not very high.
I don't think it's going to be a priority for him. And getting a trade deal with the UK is not going to generate huge gains for the US. So just to place this in context, the United States is already Britain's top export partner. So as an individual country, about 15% of UK goods exports go to Britain, and about 20% of goods and services exports go to Britain. So the free trade deal that is currently being negotiated, in the long run, it would raise Britain's GDP by between 0.7 and 0.14%. So this is a really small deal in terms of the overall benefit to the UK.
But it is a big political issue here in the UK for Boris Johnson's administration. The UK and the US have for a long time had what's been dubbed a special relationship. So will maintaining that be a priority for President-elect Biden? And what does that ongoing partnership look like, do you think?
So I think maintaining a strong relationship with Britain will be a priority. I think going forward, a lot will depend on what happens between the UK and the EU. So in some sense, the UK has been the base from which a lot of American corporations operate in their deeper relationships in the European Union. Brexit makes all of that work for US corporations more difficult. So the Biden administration, I think, in the interest of, you know, US business, would like Britain to maintain a strong relationship with the EU. With negotiations starting back up today, it's important, more important than it was a week ago, for the UK to secure a decent deal with the EU and also to lay a foundation for a more substantial, longer-term relationship with the EU.
And the next U.S. administration is already a big focal point for the EU. Today, it's put U.S. trade relations at the top of an EU Council agenda.
Yes, and there's some, you know, immediate disputes between the U.S. and the EU that a Biden administration will probably be able to negotiate something sensible over. So, for example, there's been a big dispute at the WTO over the subsidization of commercial aircraft, so Boeing versus Airbus. And the U.S. won a case against the EU, which gives them the right to put a lot of tariffs on EU imports. The EU won a smaller case, and so the EU would like to sort out that dispute in an amicable way that preserves as much trade between the two partners as possible.
Dr. Meredith Crowley, plenty for us to chew over. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks.
Today, the World Trade Organization was set to meet to decide on the appointment of Dr. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala as the body's next director general. But the meeting was canceled due to, quote, current events and has been postponed until further notice as consultations continue to take place. The U.S. has opposed the former African finance minister's nomination, so questions are swirling about whether a Biden administration could change America's stance. The BBC's Andrew Walker explains what's likely to happen next.
Ultimately, the most likely position now is that the Nigerian Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala will eventually be appointed to the job with US consent. I don't suppose it's going to be a very high priority. They would only be in a position to do it definitively once they've taken office.
So can the WTO just delay this process until the Biden administration takes over?
There's no reason why they can't continue as they are for the time being. They've been without a director general for several weeks, being run by a group of deputy directors general. I've no doubt the WTO member countries would prefer to have new leadership in place sooner rather than later, but it's not essential.
The WTO typically makes these appointments by consensus, but could it come to a majority vote instead?
That is theoretically possible. There was a previous occasion when there was a lot of difficulty, which actually ended up with a decision to have two different people serving shorter terms. And in the aftermath of that, there was an agreement, and that makes very clear the overriding preference is to get consensus. But there was a paragraph entitled recourse to voting as a last resort. And I have no doubt that the WTO members would rather have a bit of a delay rather than going to a vote early on.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Victoria.
Finally, the Russian and Chinese governments have indicated they won't make a formal response to the U.S. election outcome until the result has been officially confirmed. German Chancellor Angela Merkel, meanwhile, congratulated Joe Biden this morning, emphasizing Europe and the U.S. will need to stand together to deal with challenges ranging from coronavirus to climate change and terrorism. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.